Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Monday RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. As always on Mondays, I'm your host, Jake Litarski, joined today by Chris Benzine. If you're out there on Twitter, give Chris a follow, at Crispy272002. You can follow me on Twitter, at JakeSki52. We're going to start off today, Chris. We want to talk a little bit about the FanDuel RotoWire Expert Challenge. Now, we've got 50 RotoWire experts all going against each other head-to-head. Now, a lot of people play this different strategies. You could do a cash game strategy to try to get your points up over time, or you can do a tournament strategy because the top five finishers every week get a qualifier into the end-of-the-year blowout, but also the top five finishers in the overall standings get a ticket to that as well. So it rewards both being consistent and having your good quick hitters. So when you're putting together lineups for that, I know we forgot one last week, even though you're in second place. When you're putting together your lineups for that, do you like to shoot for more of a tournament lineup or a cash game lineup in that?
Generally, I go with the tournament lineup. I try to get those weekly entries into it. So I generally don't go with like the top overall pitchers. Every once in a while, I may go and splurge a little bit on the pitcher if I think I can get a good lineup in behind them still. But generally, I'll go with that middle range to lower range, trying to get a pitcher that I can still get in some quality bats behind. So I'm really looking to try to snag that entry every week rather than over time. And it actually has worked out over time so far. Unfortunately, I'm going to drop like a rock after forgetting last week to put in my lineup, unfortunately.
Yeah, as it currently stands, Chris and I were both in the top 10 headed into week 7. We have yet to implement the scores, but Chris was 2. I was number 8, and I kind of go with the later strategy. I don't do it so much of a tournament. I do it as much like a cash game. So a lot of times you are going to see me take the top pitcher on the board. The reason being, I mean, I only have to beat 40 to 45 people on a given week and go ahead and get my 60 points from the pitcher and as well get those entries over time. I do have one top five finish. I had 173-point lineup 1 week. And, yeah, overall, I mean, I didn't really do that on Friday, though. I passed on Jake Arrieta and instead went with Aaron Nola in a matchup against the Braves. That kind of hurt me a little bit, but you know what? It is what it is. We got a long season ahead, and hopefully we can get some more entries here when it's all said and done after 15 weeks here. Well, let's move on to Monday's slate of games. We got a pretty close to a full slate. Got a Colorado-Pittsburgh game going on as we record the show, so we're going to kind of pass on that in terms of analysis. Of course, the first leg of the Indians-White Sox doubleheader is later afternoon, so that gives us a 10-game slate for tonight. For some perspective there, the $3 MLB squeeze on FanDuel is going to have about 48,000 entries, so good to go there. But aside from the squeeze, say you're playing a 50-50 tonight, Chris, want to go for some safety in your pitching options. Now, you got the top tier, Clayton Kershaw, an astounding $13,200 against the Reds. Then you got Johnny Cueto right underneath, $11,800 against the Padres. Are you dipping into that top tier, Chris, or are you kind of going back to the middle tier for your cash game pitchers this evening?
Yeah, in cash game, I'm actually going to go and drop down to that middle tier there. One guy that I really like and who's been pretty solid on the whole this season is Gio Gonzalez. He's sitting at 8,900 against the Mets at home today. He's allowed more than two earned runs just once this season, and he owns a 1.16 ERA and a matching 1.16 WHIP at home, and he has 24 Ks over 23 and a third innings. And when you match that with the fact that the Mets have actually struggled mightily against left-handed pitching this year with a 292 WOBA and a 27% strikeout rate, I mean, and you also have him going against Bartolo Colon. When you look at the Mets pitching staff, he's the one that you would think would be the best possible opponent. Although Matt Harvey has certainly struggled this year, but still, I think if I'm going to choose one pitcher out of that Mets staff to face, it would be Bartolo. And then, I would definitely, there's a decent chance of a win there. You have some great splits in his favor right now. The 3.22 FIP he holds is a bit concerning, but considering the matchup certainly favors him today, I think Gio Gonzalez is who I would go with as my safe bet in a cash game.
Yeah, right on. I mean, I can see where you're coming from with Gio. Just a reminder to our listeners that FIP is calculated quite a bit differently depending on the source. That might have been coming from the RotoWire calculations, because I'm seeing a 3.09 FIP for Gio Gonzalez. Either way, that's a little bit ahead of a 1.86 ERA, but that doesn't necessarily suggest blow up by any means either. So we're kind of right in the same ballpark with that, and you know, maybe the ERA is set to jump a little bit, but not a ton. And I actually really think that Gio is a safe play this evening. Very good for your cash games. You mentioned how the Mets are performing against left-handed hitters. I wonder if Terry Collins will shake up the lineup maybe a little bit to get some more right-handed bats to try to curb that. But I do like what Gio has brought to the table. He's been very solid. And the biggest thing here, especially in those cash games, is your win probability, your 12-point win bonus. Nationals -142 favorites against the Mets. Mets got a team of solid hitters and of course, Bartolo Colon still chugging along here into his 40s now. But Gio Gonzalez, I do like that pick quite a bit. I'm going to go to the top tier, actually, for my pick. There's a lot going on here. Of course, those who listen to me, those who follow me on Twitter, know how I feel about Clayton Kershaw. There's never any secret there. I can never, ever argue with someone who wants to use Clayton Kershaw in a daily lineup, regardless of opponent. I think it's always the best chance at a win, the best chance at 10 strikeouts, your really best chance at a 60-point fantasy performance. That being said, I think I'm going to knock it down a notch today and go with Johnny Cueto. And there's a lot to like with his matchup here against the Padres. And, I mean, the Padres have been a team that you want to target all season, really, and they haven't really gotten any better of late. Over the last 14 days, just looking recently, Padres have a 253 WOBA, and that is dreadful. That's 23 points behind the Twins over that span. They've also struck out 24%. Only a couple teams have a higher strikeout rate than them, Astros, Mets, even Brewers. I mean, Mets 29% over the last 14 days, so that even furthers your Gio Gonzalez argument. But I am rolling with Cueto today. I think I did find a way to actually make a lineup with Clayton Kershaw and Bryce Harper, and I'll show you guys how to do that when we get to the later segments about with our hitters here. But I mean, Chris, can you blame me for wanting to continue to go Kershaw? I mean, there's not really a lot to lose there. You got to like the safety he brings to the table, correct?
Yeah, I mean, he has double-digit Ks in, I don't know how many, like six starts or so right now in a row.
The man is a stud.
And I'm surprised you're not wearing your Kershaw jersey today. It's generally a tradition, but must have either forgot or just decided it was a little different today. I don't know.
I think I'm going to wear it tomorrow after he strikes out a dozen over a shutout tonight.
All right.
You know, I'm saving it for tomorrow. But you're right, Chris. Six games in a row here with double-digit strikeouts. 10-10, 14-10, 13-11. The man is a stud. There's no question about that. His FIP is 1.33. That's disgusting. Like I said on XM this morning, if you Google Pedro Martinez Baseball Reference and look at his 2000 and 2001 seasons, those are the only seasons I can remember in my lifetime watching a pitcher be able to dominate like Kershaw has. And if he keeps it up, he'll be very much in line for a season like that. You gotta like, I mean, a couple Reds bats have done some damage against him, guys like Jay Bruce and Brandon Phillips, but Kershaw just way on another level this year, so you gotta love him. Even though I am advocating saving your $1,400 and maybe going to Cueto, there's still some plays, there's some $2,000 plays, some minimum price-ish options that we can find on the hitter slate tonight and potentially make you allowed to play Kershaw here. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, you know how much Chris and I love daily fantasy baseball and love talking to you about it. We always want to deliver great content to our listeners, and the best way to do that is to learn more about you. In order to do that, we've created a survey that's quick, anonymous, and you'll have a chance to win a Google Chromecast just for helping us out. Visit www.mylistenerstudy and tell us about yourself. That's mylistenerstudy.com. We'll learn more about you, get a chance to improve our pod, and you'll get a chance to win a Chromecast. So that's a win-win for everyone here. Visit mylistenerstudy.com. Thanks. It's just as easy as rating and reviewing the pod if you haven't done that already. Well, Chris, let's move on to the hitter discussion. And we kind of alluded to the fact that there's going to be a decent amount of minimum price or cheaper hitters that you're going to have to fit in your lineup if you want to use Kershaw, or even if you want to go down the list and use Cueto a little bit, and you have an extra $1,400 to work with here. The highest over-unders on the slate are, we got the Angels with Nick Tropiano at the Rangers with Derek Holland, over-under 9.5 there. Tied for that is the second leg of the doubleheader between the Indians and the White Sox. Indians sending Cody Anderson to the mound, White Sox sending Eric Johnson, and a 7.20 ERA. Now, when it comes to stacks for Monday evening, Chris, are you looking towards those over-under games, or those high over-under games, and picking one of those, or are you mixing and matching a little bit, having a harder time to find some stacks this evening?
Yeah, there are a ton of stacks I'm looking at. The over-under games, you'd look at those, you'd think those are the best ones, possibly the Indians, but those are a little more expensive, mm-hmm. so you're going to have to go with that middle to lower range pitchers if you want to mm-hmm. stack some of those middle bats in the Indians. But overall, I'm going with a little more mix and match tonight.
For sure. I agree with you. I understand. I think Indians stack against the White Sox is probably the one to go. Guys like Lindor should be in lineups, and there's a couple other options that you can look to there. But it's going to be a little bit pricey. You're going to have to go to a pitcher like Chris's, like Gio, to be able to get there.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that I believe the Indians and White Sox are a doubleheader today. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that in that second game, some of the regulars won't be in the lineup. So you may not have that general, the mm-hmm. same, some of those Indians players that you're looking at, you may have to adjust based on what lineup is out.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And, it's going to be tough, too, because it's going to depend on the end time of the first game, and the lineups for the second might not be released until after lineup lock on FanDuel, so something to watch. But one hitter I do like from that, regardless of it, is, Francisco Lindor. He's 22 years old. I think they can afford to play him twice in the doubleheader here. Not a ton of power yet this season, but getting on base at a .383 clip and offers a ton of opportunity for you. He's been red hot lately, but we'll kind of hit on that again when we get to shortstops. But let's take it real quick, Chris, position by position here, starting with the catcher spot. Are there any catchers that jump out at you today?
Yeah, one guy I was looking at especially is Buster Posey. He's sitting at $3,400, mm-hmm. obviously among the top catchers generally in salary. And he's facing Drew Pomeranz. He has 2 home runs and 10 at-bats against him.
Yeah.
So you're looking at that, I mean, it's not a huge sample size, but 2 home runs and 10 at-bats is definitely a good result. Yeah. And then another guy I'm looking at is Yan Gomes again. He is in the Indians lineup, or if he's in the Indians lineup is what I meant to say. And he's not this bad of a hitter. He's shown in the past he can actually hit, so at some point you got to think he's going to at least bust out somewhat. So at $2,700, facing Eric Johnson, I feel like there's a decent chance there. And as I mentioned, I did like some of the Indians tonight. So if I'm looking at it, he could potentially be one of those guys.
Yes, Gomes did catch Sunday afternoon's game. I'm guessing he'll sit. He's not going to catch both games of the doubleheader. So you got to stay in tune to the lineups page to see which game he will actually be starting in. As far as catchers, for me, the two guys that jumped out at me are Sal Perez against Ricky Nolasco. Pretty good batter versus pitcher matchup there. And you get a $2,800 break. I also like JT Realmuto of the Marlins, $2,700 going against left-hander Matt Moore and the Rays, so he's got the platoon advantage there. He's one of our top projected catchers for the day, even at just $2,700. But like you said, Chris, when the top player at the position, Buster Posey, is $3,400, it's very tempting to go with him. Of course, again, if you're using one of those top-tier pitchers, it might be a little bit tougher. If you do need to punt play at catcher, I can see maybe going all the way down to Steven Vogt. He still sits at $2,100, so we'll wait and see with him. What about first base, Chris? Are there any matchups that jump out at you today? Real quick injury note before we get going. Lucas Duda still day-to-day. We're not sure if he'll be involved yet or if a DL stint will be necessary. Also, Miguel Cabrera at $4,200, the highest-priced first baseman on the slate. He suffered a right knee contusion in Sunday's game, and he'll be questionable probably for this evening. They might give him an extra day. But with that knowledge in hand, what's your favorite first base option?
Yeah, I have a couple here that I'm looking at, and they're both actually sitting at the $2,800 mark. We have Prince Fielder going against Nick Tropiano, another guy who has been off to a very slow start this season. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I mean, given his past, you have to feel he's going to bust out at least, you know, he has the ability. He's shown the ability to hit, and Tropiano has given up an 886 OPS against lefties this year, so when you look at those two factors, games in Texas, that's a more hitter-friendly park there. Either side, actually, of this would have been a hitter-friendly for a little bit more, but I believe that in Texas a little more. So if I'm looking at that, that's one guy I like. Another one is Matt Adams, again, also sitting at $2,800. He's facing John Lackey, so it's a little better pitcher probably there. But he is hitting over 300 against right-handed pitchers this season, and he does have 4 home runs and 73 at-bats. So you have some he has the ability to hit right-handers. He can't hit lefties whatsoever,
yep.
But he can hit the righties. So, and if you're looking for a guy at a cheaper option, I feel like one of those two is a good option there.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from, Chris. But again, my theme for the hitters today is going to be you're going to have to find a couple of scrape-up bottom barrel options here. So the first base ones that stand out to me, number one, man, it's tough for me to say this, but Ryan Howard, he's $2,300. He's going against Pelfrey. And say what you want about batter versus pitcher matchups, but 45 at-bats against Pelfrey. He's got an OPS over 1,000, and he's got 3 home runs. Now, that being said, he's not the same player that he was when he was racking up all those numbers against Pelfrey, so you got to keep that in mind. But at a $2,300 price tag, you can't really go wrong there. And I'm also, this is kind of speculating, he should be in the lineup, but if you don't like Howard and disagree with me there and still need a cheap first baseman, maybe give Deho Lee a shot from Seattle. He does have a matchup against Rich Hill, but he should be in the lineup against the left-hander. And who knows what we can get out of him. Both these guys only producing 7 fantasy points per game so far, but the platoon matchup's in their favor. The history is in the favor, at least in Howard's case, and the price tag is most definitely in the favor of those trying to own Kershaw and or Harper or some combination of both. Let's move on over to the Keystone, though, Chris. A lot of options at second base. I've actually noticed it was being a bit shallow here today. Who are some options that maybe stand out to you at the second base spot?
Among the, we'll go to the top tier guys. I'm looking at Daniel Murphy. He's at $3,800. Mm-hmm. He's still sitting below 4,000, and he's facing Bart, who has given up 5 home runs to lefties in 27 innings this year. Now, the average isn't great, but Murphy can hit, and he's been hitting all season. He's still hot, and he's a guy that I'm looking at to provide some offense, potentially, if you're going with Gio Gonzalez. He's a guy, and you got the revenge, mm-hmm. too. Revenge factor there.
Yeah, gotta love the revenge factor games there. The top tier of second base is actually a little bit, not perplexing, but I'm going to avoid most of the top tier tonight. I can understand maybe going Zobrist at $4,200, but Ian Kinsler, despite how hot he's been, $4,400, I don't really trust against Vincent Velasquez, who's been very stellar this season. And then Robinson Cano at $4,100. I would probably fade Cano as well because you've got that lefty-lefty matchup with Rich Hill on the mound for the A's. I like Murphy. I like where you're coming from, Chris. I also like Jason Kipnis against the White Sox there. I think at $3,600, the way that he's been heating up of late and the relative unknown here pitching on the mound for the White Sox, part of that Indian stack. Again, doubleheader. I don't see why he would sit one of the games. He might as well play two. He's one of their better hitters, and they need offense right now in the absence of Michael Brantley. So I can't really see him resting. Nonetheless, check back up on those lineups there. So from second base to third base, we've got a lot of price swinging going on recently at the third base position. But if you're trying to find some value, Chris, who are you looking for?
If I'm looking for value, one guy I was looking at was Martin Prado. He's getting on base consistently. He's still sitting at $2,800, still below that $3,000 threshold. And he's not a guy that has like a ton of power or a ton of speed, but he's a guy that gets on base and can consistently get you some points.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a guy that can do that, this is one of the guys I would target at that position. And then another guy, the other guy I'm looking at the top tier, I believe you also may have highlighted him, was Evan Longoria facing Wei-Yin Chen. He hasn't been amazing against lefties this year, but he has a great history against them, and he's been really hot recently. So if I'm looking at that, that's those are two of the third basemen I'm looking at.
Yeah, back to Prado. He's someone who I actually put him in my lineup where I was able to work both Kershaw and Harper in, and he's a part of that. And yeah, I mean, 380 BABIP's helping him out with a 353 batting average. I mean, that's well over any mark that he's ever posted here in his career, majors or minors. So ride that hot streak while you can with Prado, and as long as you can get him for under 3,000, I think he's an option. I mean, you mentioned Longoria. He's definitely the hottest option at third base right now, and his price is finally showing that with the $4,000 tag. So if you can fit him in, great. I will have a tough time fitting him in, though. Another guy I like to look at the third base at the hot corner here is Yunel Escobar, 3,300 against Derek Holland. We mentioned Globe Life here in Arlington. Second most home runs out of all AL ballparks through 21 games played. That's 58. Leading the mark is Yankee Stadium, of course, at 64. So a very hitter-friendly ballpark in Globe Life. So you get that boost for him. And in addition to that, I mean, he's got the platoon matchup against Holland. I think the Angels are a very reasonable stack here against the Rangers tonight. What about shortstop, Chris? I already mentioned Lindor, but you have to pay up for him as one of the top options at 3,900. And then there's also the uncertainty of the doubleheader. You going Lindor, or are you going down the list a little bit tonight?
Lindor was one of the guys I had highlighted, but another guy I was looking at is Alcides Escobar. You do have to watch the weather a bit here because it does appear that there's a chance of rain. So that's something you have to look for. But he's sitting at 3,000, hitting atop the order, facing Ricky Nolasco. And he's got some speed, so he has a chance to steal some bases. He's got good hitters behind him, and they're another lineup that I could see putting up some runs in this game. So, against Nolasco there. So if we're looking at the shortstop position, getting a little bit of value there, that's one guy I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. One other guy for value, I also kind of like Alexi Ramirez of the Padres against Cueto. Now, I did mention Cueto as my cash game option tonight, so of course you'll want to fade all Padres hitters if you're using Cueto, but Ramirez in his history, 10 for 17, 1.471 OPS, no strikeouts in his life against Cueto. So again, very small sample size, but worth noting here. Now, outfield spot. Here's a surprising thing that jumped out at me when I started looking at these outfielders, Chris. Giancarlo Stanton is all the way down to 3,400. He's been striking out like a strikeout machine lately. There are over 20 outfielders that are more expensive from than Stanton, but he gets a platoon matchup tonight. Is he someone that you can trust to break out of his slump, or are you looking elsewhere in the outfield department?
As much as I would like to go with Stanton, I feel like I'm still looking elsewhere. From what I watched him hit the last few days, I've seen him hit, and he just looks lost at the plate. They showed him like swinging when the ball's almost already in the catcher's mitt. He starts his swing really late right now. I don't know. He's just not a guy that I feel like he's gonna bust out. He's got the tools, obviously. We know that.
I mean, do you think he's hurt? Matchup. A lot of people like to speculate that. Maybe there's an injury we don't know so much about. You just never really know. I mean, it's all speculation at this point, but someone like Stanton, it's tough to see him go off a cliff like that.
Yeah, he's never been this bad at any point in his career, so it's tough to know if there's something more behind it or not, but it certainly wouldn't be surprising if something came out about it. So,
all right. So yeah, I mean, as far as outfielder goes, you got to consider Harper at 4,300 every time, but to balance out that outfield, do you have any value plays?
Yeah. A couple guys is looking at Franklin Gutierrez at 2,300. Obviously he's facing Rich Hill, who's been pretty good this year, but he's at 2,300 against the lefty. We'll assume he's in the lineup. You can't guarantee it, but more than likely he's generally in the lineup against left-handed pitchers, so if he's in the lineup, he's a pretty good play. Paolo Orlando, he's sitting at 2,600, and he's been crushing recently. I believe he's over 600 average in the last week and over 500 in the last 2 weeks. He's a guy that not always in the lineup, but if he is, that's a guy you might want to target. And then one more guy I was kind of looking at is Jorge Soler. Generally, when you see Adam Wainwright on the mound in the past, you might want to avoid some of the hitters. But recently, Soler's been good, and Wainwright has not. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy sitting at 2,500 is Soler. He's got some power, and he's been hitting at least decent of late. So I think that's another option you could go with at that if you're looking for some value at the outfield position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly like those picks. I want to toss on one more value play, though, Chris, that I think is worth noting. Now, of course, you mentioned Gio Gonzalez as your cash game pitcher, so knock this out if you're using Gio. But if you're not, I got to look at Juan Lagares. He's $2,000. He allows you so much salary relief, and he hits lefties pretty well, so he could be an option. Again, he's someone that you need to double-check that is actually in the lineup first, but I could see him getting a start tonight. And then on top of that, I'm going to go up in price a little bit, but if you're not using Johnny Cueto tonight, maybe take a look at John Jay. He's at $3,200, and in his career, he's 13 for 34 with three home runs lifetime against Johnny Cueto. And if he gets bats out of the leadoff spot, we'll be good to go. I mean, Jay saw plenty of Cueto during his time with the Cardinals when Cueto was with the Reds, so there's a lot of experience there. The book might be out on that matchup here. So a couple more value play options to go in the outfield. Well, MLB season is here, and that means Daily Fantasy Baseball is back. Go to FanDuel.com to play now. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back tonight and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1, so anyone can play. Remember, that is FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Let's move on to the final portion of our program, Chris, in which time to pick maybe a pitcher that could be a little bit cheaper or maybe has some low ownership to help set your lineup apart in those big tournaments, such as the $3 MLB squeeze that's going to have over 48,000 entries. Then you got to do something to distinguish your lineup. How are you going to go about that, Chris?
Yeah, the pitcher that I'm looking at if we're going in a tournament here is Ian Kennedy at 8,400 going in Minnesota. He's facing, as we've mentioned with a few hitters choices earlier, he's facing Ricky Nolasco. Again, you're going to have to monitor the weather here just to be safe, because if there's any chance of rain out, you may want to avoid it, because losing a pitcher is a huge loss, so you're going to have to take that into account. But he's been blown up twice this season, but he does have he has been solid overall. He was blown up in New York and in L.A. against the Angels, so those are two hitter-friendly ballparks there. But other than that, he's been very good. He's struck out six or more in all but one start this season. And Minnesota's just been atrocious offensively this season. So, and Kennedy actually faced Minnesota once this season already, and he struck out seven on, I believe, his first start of the season. And then you go and you look, it's at Target Field. It may not be as pitcher-friendly as Kauffman Stadium is, but it still favors the pitchers that in that ballpark there. And you have a good win potential, as I mentioned, facing Nolasco. And the Royals are a minus 118 favorites for that game. So you have a lot of factors going in his favor for this game. But just keep in mind that the weather isn't necessarily all isn't perfect going into this game, so you might have to monitor to make sure it's not going to have any issues.
Yeah, last I checked, about a 60% chance of rain, but that tends to change and vary a little bit throughout the day. So worth checking up to make sure that game will actually be played. But I do like your strategy going after the Twins, Chris. In the last 14 days, Twins have a 276 WOBA. That's the second worst in the league, striking out at a 23.7% rate and a dreadful mark of 70 weighted runs created plus when the league average is 100. That gets them at dead last. So the Twins not doing a whole lot to scare anybody on offense tonight. I'm paying up a little bit for my tournament pick tonight. I'm going to go with Vincent Velasquez of the Phillies. Now, he's on the road against Detroit, but there's a lot of reasons why I like Velasquez tonight. You're going to have low ownership, that's for sure, because Detroit over the last couple weeks, second best weighted on base percentage. So generally, people are going to see Velasquez and think that this is a matchup to avoid. But with that all taken into account, Velasquez seems to have proven he's the real deal this year. I mean, he's got a strikeout per nine rate of almost 11 even over eight starts this season. And his 2.42 ERA is backed up by a 2.43 FIP. Solid. His walks are down. He really has proven that he is, like I said, the real deal. Plus, Miguel Cabrera dealing with that knee bruise that I mentioned earlier. If he sits for whatever reason, that lineup is less threatening. And the Tigers do like to strike out a lot, 22.6% over the last 14 days. Not to mention, The Philadelphia Phillies are -104 road favorites in this one. So you got win probability. I don't really like what Pelfrey's got to offer. You got strikeout opportunities and maybe a slightly depleted Detroit lineup. So something to watch in play there. So just to recap here, we've got cash game picks. Chris likes Gio Gonzalez at 8,900 against the Mets. I'm on Johnny Cueto at 11,800 against the Padres here. For tournament picks, Chris Digg and Ian Kennedy at 8,400. I will take Vincent Velasquez at 8,900. So there we are. That's what we got for the Monday show here. Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Remember that first-time FanDuel users that make a deposit of $25 or more via RotoWire can get 6 months of complimentary access. To check out RotoWire.com on your own, just go to RotoWire.com/pod. That's RotoWire.com/POD. Once again, I'm joined by Chris Benzine today at Crispy272002. I'm Jake Letarski at JakeSki52. The RotoWire Daily Fantasy Podcast will return Tuesday with myself and John McKechnie.
Ace is a place with the helpful hardware, folks.
At Ace, your backyard's right in our backyard, which means we have hand-picked products that are right for the birds in your neighborhood, like premium bird seed, suet, birdhouses, and feeders. Stop by your local Ace and get everything you need to attract the birds you want, including Ace Wild Bird Food, on sale now. Now through Tuesday only, when you buy 2 20-pound bags of wild bird food, get a third bag free. Only at Ace, the helpful place. Offer valid through February 28th at participating stores.